Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
Hi, I'm Matt Staver. Welcome to Covenant Journeys Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about John chapter 4. I love this chapter because it's where Jesus comes to the well and meets this woman from Samaria, and he radically changes her life. It begins in John chapter 4 in verse 5, and it says, "So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being tired from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour." There's so much information just in this one verse. Verse 6, it says that Jesus was tired. The Greek word talks about how Jesus was basically exhausted from the long journey of the day. It shows his humanity. After walking a long distance that day, he was tired, and so he sat down while the disciples went on to get some food to purchase in the nearby city in Samaria. And it says it was the sixth hour. Why does it say the sixth hour? You know, when you look at things in the Bible, sometimes you easily read over these specific details, but they're there for a specific reason. Jesus did everything intentionally. Why is it important that this was the sixth hour? Well, what is the sixth hour? The sixth hour is 12 o'clock noon. It's a hot time of the day. If you're going to come to draw water, you usually would come earlier in the morning when the sun is not so hot, or later in the day when the sun starts to go down and the temperature starts to fall. But now this woman comes to this well in one of the hottest times of the day. Jesus is sitting there at the well, and verse 7 says, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." Verse 9, "The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" It's amazing what is said here in the original language. The Jews have no dealings. They have no interaction, no community with those from Samaria. Not only was there a wall built culturally between the Jewish people and the Samaritan people, but there's a wall built between which place it is should be the authentic place of worship. But moreover, there's also this issue of the women of the day. Women at the time of Jesus, not only in Judaism, but also in Roman culture and Greek culture, were not thought of as very high citizens. In fact, according to the culture at that time, women were not believable. So how radical is that, that Jesus chose women to be the first eyewitnesses to the most important event in human history, his own resurrection? Jesus transformed women that were kicked to the side of the curb, women who were thought of as second-class citizens, and even worse, the writings regarding women from both Greek, Roman, and even Jewish literature were really against the way that God created a woman in his own image. So for Jesus, a rabbi, to be speaking to a woman with him by himself and no one else there, and doing that in the middle of the day, was quite radical. Jesus was focused on transforming this woman's life. And listen to how the story progresses. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman says to him, and I think this is almost in somewhat of a sarcastic way, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. From where are you going to get this living water?" Right, yeah, you're going to give me living water. In the original language, that living water, is water that's bubbling up from the ground. It's kind of a spring that comes from the earth below and bubbles up and creates a flowing river, like some of the rivers that create the Jordan River in Israel. This is fresh water. This is not stagnant water. This is water that's alive and fresh. Jesus doesn't have anything to draw with. So the woman naturally asks, how are you going to get the water from the well? And how are you going to get this bubbling, alive, living water? She goes on to say, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank of it himself, as did his children and his livestock? Jesus is so gentle with her as he begins to lead her towards salvation. He answered her in verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. In the Greek, there's two words, oume, and that means not. It is like in English, if you were going to put never in all caps and in bold. It is emphatic. It is the most emphatic way of saying you will never, ever, ever thirst again. There's no question. If you take the water that I will give, this living water, you'll never have any thirst. He goes on to say, but the water that I will give will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. That's that fresh, bubbling water that's alive, that gives life. The woman says to him, sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty, neither come all the way here to draw. And then Jesus leads her to a point of introspection to consider her own failings. He just says to her, go call your husband and come here. I'm sure the woman probably paused at that. How's she going to answer this? Is she going to say, as she could have said, my husband's not available? Certainly that would be true because she doesn't have a husband. But she ultimately comes clean. When Jesus comes to you and he points out our weaknesses, when we are transparent and give those weaknesses, our questions, our doubts, our sin, the darkness, the dark corners in our life over to him, he is there to transform them. And this woman was transparent. The woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have said well, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This you have truly said. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain in Samaria, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship that which you don't know. We worship that which we know. It's amazing when we go on through the rest of the chapter that this woman then shares this story, which we'll pick up on another occasion, with the people in her community, and that community is transformed. But one of the things that Jesus did is he didn't get caught up in the religious doctrine and go down the rabbit trail, which is where this lady wanted him to go. He ultimately focused on what was the issue with her, and he reached out and gave transformative grace to her. And that's what Jesus wants to do. Read the chapter 4, John chapter 4. It's one of my favorite chapters, how Jesus transformed this woman who was completely broken. Imagine five marriages and now living with someone who's not her husband. Imagine the hurt that this woman had experienced. Imagine how she had become an outcast. No wonder why she came to the well in the middle of the day, and Jesus met her there. And there, Jesus wants to meet each one of us. For more information, go to covenantjourney.org. That's covenantjourney.org for additional podcasts.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. Visit covenantjourney.org.